Joining us on the G&M Family Market phone line, it is veteran Maine broadcaster Mike Violet, who tweeted earlier this afternoon, "You know me, I'll appear on anyone's radio show." Man, do I feel special now, Mike.
That's what it was intended for, Rich. No, I love you, my friend. Because when you introduce me as veteran Maine broadcaster, you could very easily be introducing yourself.
Yes, I know. I didn't say grizzled or, in my case, disgruntled or any of those things.
Yeah, you know, I've been called worse. You know, angry right-wing nut job. You know, all of them apply to me, and I willingly take all of the slings and arrows. That's fine.
It's a badge of honor. Why run from that stuff?
No, I'm not going to ever. How are you guys?
No, we're doing great. I like this weather. Finally, the way it's supposed to be in May.
You'll never guess what I did this afternoon, Rich.
You're right. I won't.
All right, I went to the bus station in Portland, which is right down the street from my house, the Greyhound bus station, and I bought a ticket, a one-way ticket to Waterville.
Wow.
Up to my father's place up here in Fairfield Center, where I store Miss Velma. Miss Velma is my motorcycle, and I am bringing her home today.
Oh, what a good day for that. That sounds awesome.
You have interrupted me polishing Miss Velma in order to appear on the radio. But I got to tell you, I go into the bus station. I'd already bought my ticket online, and I printed it out. But this lady walks in, and she's got more tattoos than like a drunken sailor. And she walks up to the ticket window and asks for a one-way ticket to Lewiston, dot, dot, dot. And then she says, because I have to go to court tomorrow.
Well, I think she knows how it's going to turn out then.
What I would say guilty would be it, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes. Polishing Miss Velma, so that's not a euphemism for anything, then.
No, Miss Velma's my Kawasaki Vulcan.
Excellent. Well, that's a great day for it. Let's talk a little Celtics, number one pick.
What?
So Danny Ainge had this planned all along, right? This was a brilliant plan.
Well, talk about a plan all coming together, and my God, is it good to be Danny Ainge right now or not? It doesn't get much better than that. I mean, all of the, you know, all of the talk of the trade deadline, and I think that's probably the last time I was on, it was either right before it or right after it, and everybody lamenting the fact that Danny didn't get Sergei Bubka and all these other guys, and, you know, ends up, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals. That happens Monday night, and then Tuesday they finally win a lottery after, what, three losses, I guess, or two losses? You know, no Tim Duncan, no Durant, or, you know, Greg Oden, whoever Danny was going to take back then. This is just, I mean, you got to pinch yourself, don't you? This is just fabulous. Adding, you know, depending on who it is, and I think it'll be the folks kid if they keep the pick. But I'm sure that the phone lines between now and July, when they finally have the draft, are going to be heating up. And Danny's going to field some calls, and I think, in the end, I don't know what you think, Rich, but I think he's going to keep that pick, and I think he's going to make the pick, and it's not going to be LeVar Ball.
No, I don't think it is, and I do think he'll hang on to it, and I think they'll do everything they can to go out and find a way to get Gordon Hayward and solidify this team.
You got all that cap room. Can you imagine bringing in Hayward and his, 23-8, and, you know, his energy and his court sense, and adding that to this team along with, another kid, and who knows, maybe the big Frenchman there, you know, Grusacci, whatever his name is, who was actually in Portland the last couple of weeks of the Red Claw season. I actually saw a game, and he looked like he could play in the NBA, certainly. So, you know, look, they're not going to win this series. If they do, it's going to be a shocking upset. I think they're probably going to lose it in five or six games. But I think if you look at things the way they are now, it's mission accomplished. I mean, I am happy that they ended up the number one seed. I'm content with that, and I'm content with them losing in the Eastern Conference Finals to the LeBrons. I mean, if they win this series, talk about playing with house money.
Mm.
I'm happy that they're here, and I'm content with it. And I think, you know, at this point, Danny has a chance to turn this team into a team next year. If you add the kid and you add Hayward, I think you're right there with Cleveland at that point, and I think LeBron would have his hands full.
Mike, how do you think they come out in this series tonight? Are they going to be just happy to be there, still basking in the glow of everything, or do they come out there believing they could somehow win this thing?
Well, I think that to begin the game, they're still going to have plenty of energy, I think, left over just from the whole aura of what they did Monday night and the crowd noise and Kelly Olynyk and everybody. You know, by the way, I do have a man bun today, Rich.
I just want It looks good.
Thanks. It looks better on the radio, believe me. But I think they'll have energy, and obviously the key for the Cavaliers is probably to get by the first 8-10 minutes of that energy of the crowd and just the team in general. I really don't think it makes a difference in the end, because as much energy as the Celtics have, and as well as they certainly played, they were playing the Washington Wizards, after all. They were playing that team, and there's nobody like LeBron in the world, and there certainly isn't anybody in the NBA. Look, if they get a game or two out of this, I'm going to be happy. If they get swept, and you can't rule that out, I'm still not going to be unhappy about this. This isn't a bad thing. They have accomplished what I think they wanted to accomplish. Obviously, you want to win the world championship, but they're not going to win the world championship. They're not going to be Cleveland, and if for some crazy reason they did, they're not going to be Golden State. So I'm fine with it. I think it's fine, and at this point next year, you know, if they don't make it to the finals next year, if Danny does the things we think he's going to do, then I'd be disappointed.
We're talking with Mike Violet here on Downtown. Let's talk a little Red Sox. A nice win last night, but I know you were off that John Farrell train a while ago.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm like Sweden with John Farrell. I mean, I'm not crazy to fire him. I'm not crazy about him. I think if Torey Lovullo were still on this staff, were still on his bench coach, I might have my finger on the eject button a little bit sooner. But, you know, there are some variables here that I think you have to take into effect no matter who's managing the team. Number one, certainly some injuries, David Price not being there. They have a black hole, a vacuum at third base. I mean, you got Devin Marrero playing regular third base for you. You know, I mean, when he hits a double like he did over the weekend or a couple of them, I mean, talk about finding a $20 bill on the street. But, you know, and I'm never one to shy away from a managerial change. Who are you going to bring in, Rich? I mean, is Gary DeSarcina ready to manage this ball club? I don't know. And if he is, are they going to be any better? Obviously, we all know David Ortiz isn't walking through that door anytime soon, and that clearly is, I think, the difference in this lineup. But, you know, it'd be nice if, I mean, I love Xander Bogaerts. It'd be nice if he hit a double once in a while, maybe jack the home run once in a while. You know, there's been some real inconsistent play. This is still an awfully good lineup, no question about that. But, you know, I mean, they got six hits last night, ended up with six runs, which is fine. And Eduardo Rodriguez looks like he's growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I like the pitching staff, especially if Price comes back. You got four pretty solid guys, and that's better than most teams have. And I don't know. I'm not a huge John Farrell fan, but I agree with you. I don't know where else you go. Around here, people will say, well, what about Butter? Get Brian Butterfield in there. But he might be that one guy who's more valuable to the team as a third base coach and a defensive instructor than he would be as manager.
Yeah, I really believe that. I mean, you know him. He's a great guy. He's a great influence on the team. He's a great influence on everybody, but particularly the kids, the infielders. I mean, you know, watching the whole Jeter thing the other night, you know, the one prevailing thought I had about this whole thing was the work that Brian Butterfield did with Jeter
right
after that first year of A-ball, where he had, what, 42 errors? And he credits Butterfield with making him into the player that he was. And, you know, he's done that with a lot of guys. I think he's, you know, he's certainly shored up Bogaerts at shortstop, and he's very valuable in the role he's in. And, you know, I mean, I don't know Brian Butterfield, never met him, never spoken with him, but I've never heard him quoted as saying he wanted to manage. I guess somebody ought to ask him at some point, but he just doesn't seem like the type to me. I think there are guys who are, you know, better suited to be lieutenants than generals, and I think he might be one of those guys. So, you know, you look at the bench, you've got Gary DeSarcina, who certainly has AAA experience in Pawtucket and in the Angel system. You know, Jim Leland is 72 years old. He's been Dombrowski's guy. He doesn't want to manage in the big leagues anymore, despite the World Baseball Classic. If Jim Leland were 62, Rich, instead of 72, I might do it.
I'm with you on that as well. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Mike, you covered sports for a long time here in the state. I mean, who's the best athlete that you've seen, that you've covered, you've watched, you've reported on from the state of Maine?
Wow. You're talking like high school, college, both?
Either one, but the rule is they had to be a native Mainer.
Okay. Well, certainly, I mean, I've done a gazillion high school, you know, sporting events, whether it's football, basketball, hockey, baseball. Man, boy, you got to prep me on this. I mean, we're talking 35 years of doing this, and going back to the 80s, early 80s, where, you know, I've seen some very, very good players. And, you know, obviously for a lot of that time, guys, I concentrated, you know, where I happen to be right now, which is Central Maine, your Watervilles, your Winslows, Lawrence, you know, that area, which certainly, you know, is a hotbed. I mean, I go back to, like a kid like Lenny Cole from Lawrence from late 80s, early 90s, very good football player, dominating basketball player, pretty good baseball player. You know, was he the best athlete I saw? Maybe not. Trying to think of three-sport guys. It's just not coming to me. That's something I need to tweet out and get suggestions on.
All right, well,
you know what I mean.
We'll let you think on that and come back to it next time.
Yeah.
Speaking of your area, I was interesting to see Kenny Lindelof returning to the high school coaching ranks.
When I saw that, and I think Ernie Clark from the Bangor Daily News was the first tweet I saw of that. And I go back. I mean, Kenny taught my daughter, who's now 32. Kenny had her. I think he's either a freshman or a sophomore at Waterville High. And I ran into Kenny right around Christmas. My father and I were out at a local drinking establishment, and he happened to be there. And we got to talking about, you know, kids in high school. But how many guys? I mean, we have Lee Bureau, who coached hockey at Waterville, Winslow, and Messalonskee. Now we got Kenny Lindelof, who, you know, won titles with, you know, great Waterville teams with, the Jobber kids and Greg Frame and the Whitmore boys and all of that. I mean, totally identified with Waterville, you know, and of course doing some great work, working the games on TV now for Maine Public Television. He's very good at it. I've actually done some games with him. But when I see Teddy, you know, in that black and orange, that's going to be strange. And I know I still, you know, see Greg Frame, an old Waterville kid, down in Portland, because Greg has his law practice down there. When he actually, when the tweet came out and Greg liked the tweet, I'm like, wow, this is crazy, because it's, you know, you, and it's the same up there, Bangor Brewer or whatever it is. We're awfully provincial about everything, and it's definitely going to be a different kind of thing. And I think it's great, though. Kenny's still a great coach. He's still a vibrant guy, and understands the game. He's never not been around it since he left Waterville, and I think it's a plum thing for Winslow. It's a coup for them. He's going to do a terrific job, because that's what he is. I mean, he's just a good X and O's coach, and he's an excellent motivator, and he still, I think, is close enough to the kids that he understands it's a different kid now than, you know, than it maybe was in his heyday in the early 90s. We all know that, with cell phones and, you know, everything else, and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and selfies and Snapchat and all that other stuff that's to try to get their eyes and ears focused on basketball sometimes, it's not an easy thing to do. So that may be his biggest transition, because I think that might be the biggest change, Rich, since the last time he coached.
Oh, I think you're probably right. Hey, we only got about a minute left. We got to get going. But the last time you were on, a couple people reached out to me and said, hey, we loved hearing you on the show, and said, how come you guys didn't talk politics? Ha ha. Because I think people know you and I are at somewhat different ends of the spectrum. But I believe that in America, I believe, Mike, that what brings us together, what we have in common, is greater than what separates us. So in 45 seconds, can you and I find some kind of common ground on something politically, just to smack the naysayers right in the nose?
How about this? I voted for Donald Trump. You know that. I know you did not.
Yes, that's correct.
I voted for Donald Trump, and here we are, what, 6 or 7 months later? The guy is nuttier than anything I've ever thought of seeing, and I want Mike Pence to be president. How about that?
All right, we found common ground on, I will say, given the other options, yes, I think we found common ground right there. You see, America's a great place.
I love you, Rich.
Mike, we love having you on the show. Thanks again. We'll do it before too long, and we'll find even more things to have in common.
I can't wait. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you, Mike. Mike Violet here on Downtown.